we're going to continue our walk through this amazing thing called grace. This is part three in the series, part two of last week's message, where we realized, where we recognized, where we were presented with the fact that we have been overwhelmed and overcome by grace. We have been drowned in the opportunity to have grace, but receiving that grace is difficult, and giving that grace is even more difficult. And we talked about what it feels like and what it happens like and how difficult it is to offer true forgiveness, true mercy, true grace to one another. God offers it unlimitedly to us. I don't know if unlimitedly is a word, but he offers it to us that way, and you understand, all right? But we pick and choose. Judgment reigns in us. The need for legalism, the need for justice rises up in our sinful nature, and we struggle with offering forgiveness to one another. And the peace that does not reign within us because of our unmerciful, ungracious, unforgiving hearts is the struggle in and of itself that God desires for us to overcome. You might have heard this before, but somebody once said that not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and expecting them to die. Not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and expecting them to die. Here's the key, people. Last week I finished with a phrase that I want to repeat. Giving unexpected, giving overwhelming, giving matchless grace, the grace of God to one another, listen to me, is impossible. It is not just difficult, it is impossible. One of the most misquoted verses in the Bible is, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." We use it as this sort of foundational support for the ability to do something. Here is the problem. We take it out of context by saying it before we swing a ball bat. We take it out of context by saying it before we enter a football game. And though I believe that you ought to pray, I believe that in Jesus' name you should pray and play. I believe all of those things. But the verse loses its context outside of the realm of what we're talking about today. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, if we use it in the context that we use it, then there are things that you cannot do without him. See, I know a lot of non-Christians. I know a lot of people who don't know the Spirit of God who do amazing things, who build amazing companies, who make lots of money. So they can do a lot of things without Jesus. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the things he calls you to do that we try to do on our own, we fail to do, and then we give up on doing. And here's what he would say. I didn't ask you to do it alone. I simply ask you to do it. Did you catch that, folks? I ask you to do it. I did not ask you to do it alone. So it is impossible to give the overwhelming, never-ending, matchless grace of God to anyone without him. But apart from him, you can't do it. With him, you can. I need to be able to help you understand why you should. And the promise I made to you last week was to tell you how you should. Why you should and how you should, and that is today. And all of that starts with this. Unless you choose to walk with God and ask him for his help in doing what he commands, you cannot. You can leave now if you like. But if you are willing to hear what he can do through you, and how, that's where we're going to go this morning. But we start with the problem. Peter came to Jesus and asked the Lord how many times I shall forgive my brother, and he said, up to seven times. Jesus said, I tell you, not seven, but 77. Here's what I want you to hear. We did it last week, and I told you we'd come back to it. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, that means what God's place looks like, how it looks when Jesus does things, when God does things, all right? Is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He began to settle with them, and a man who owed him 10,000 talents, let's say $10 million. It's not but for our sake, let's say a man owed him $10 million. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold so that they could repay the debt. Sell his wife, sell his kids, sell his family, sell his house, and see how much we get, and whatever it is, that's what we'll do. The servant fell on his knees and said, "Please be patient. I'll pay everything back. Don't take my wife. Don't take my babies." And the king looked at him and said, "Okay." Not only did the king take pity on him, listen, he canceled the debt and let him go. He didn't say, "Pay me when you can." He didn't say, "Pay later." He didn't say, "Let's set up a payment plan." He canceled the $10 million debt and let him go free with his wife, with his kids. But when the servant went out, he found another servant who owed him 100 denarii, $100. 10 million, 100. He grabbed him, began to choke him, and said, "Pay back what you owe me." The servant fell on his knees and said, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But this man refused, and instead, he had him thrown into prison until he could pay. When the other servants saw this, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master what had happened. And the master called the servant back and said, "You are wicked. I canceled your debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy?"